God's people say amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Jethro. I appreciate everything. I really appreciate the choir. And thank God for that. You see, we notice the orderliness of our services. And we thank God for that. I really appreciate the order of our services. And I believe we are the most ordered church. If not in Davao, perhaps in the entire Mindanao, or one of the best in the world, if not the best. And all of these things are made possible because of our volunteer workers. And I have co-pilots with me during Sunday services. And we have 130 plus volunteer workers who are taking care of things when having services. These are people who are assigned in a nursery right now. People are assigned in the toddler's area, taking care of the babies so that the mothers can sit down and listen to the Word of God. We have greeters and ushers. We have guards on the streets guarding the vehicles. We have Sunday school teachers. We have choir members. We have people taking care of the kinder church right now, the junior church, the primary church. So we have people all over this building and doing their job. And I would like to tell all the volunteer workers of the Bible Baptist Church how much, as your pastor, I appreciate everything that you're doing in the work of the Lord. Amen? And it's really good to see an orderly church. Amen? And so we are thankful that we put orders in our services. Open your Bible, please, this morning in the book of 2 Corinthians. And I preached last Sunday. Can you remember the message last Sunday? Who can remember the message last Sunday? People who are called in the Bible, happy. And that was the first phase of the message. And we're looking at the second phase of the message today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I would like for you to prepare also Psalm 73. But first of all, we're reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17 today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17. Well, I appreciate this crowd. We have a big crowd also in the Visayan service today. And we thank God for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse number 17. I hope you have your place now. Bible says, for which cause, verse 17, for our light, what's the next word now? Affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's talking about us Christians, verse 17, but our, are you a believer today? You know you're saved today, but our, he says. Our, he said here, for our, he says, light, affliction is but for a moment. Open with me in Psalm 73, please. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of clean heart. I hope you will read, when you go home today, you will take time to read the entire chapter. Time will not permit me to read all of the verses here. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well slipped. Nigh slipped. I was envious of the foolish. And I saw the prosperity, says, of the wicked. For there are no bands in their debts, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. He said, well, I'm troubled seeing the wicked people who are in good health, While we as God's people, we're having afflictions. And it troubles me. It troubles me. And why are these things happening? And look at this here in verse number 12. Behold, said, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocent sin. And it goes on here, verse number, all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. As we go back here, in verse number 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It was too painful, he says, for me. Verse 21, as my heart was grieved, I was pricked in my reins, I was complaining. And he said, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was a beast before thee, he says here. In verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then understood I their end. May God bless the reading of His Word today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God today. And as I preach this, O Lord, first of all, I wholeheartedly yield myself to the power of the Holy Spirit, to the control of God today. And I just simply pray, use me as an instrument to deliver the Word of God to your people and to those who are not saved. Speak to us today. Empower the Word of God today, that there will be a great result happening in our lives, that we will be changed today. In Jesus' name, amen. The people, last Sunday's message was entitled, "The People Who Are Called Happy in the Word of God." Those who are called happy in the Word of God. Today, we're looking at the contrast between the afflictions of the saved and the unsaved people. The afflictions of those who are saved, living for the Lord, and the afflictions of those who are not saved. And it is very interesting, always interesting, to contemplate the contrast found in the Bible between the saved people and the unsaved people. The saved people are called the righteous. Whenever you see the word righteous, especially in the book of Psalm or in the Old Testament, that primarily, it refers to the saved, the righteous. When you see the word wicked, it refers to those who are not saved, those who are not living for the Lord. There is a difference between the afflictions of the righteous and the wicked, the saved and the unsaved. The righteous people are saved people. Those who are called wicked are those who are not saved. Throughout the Bible, we find this contrast regarding their character. There's always a contrast between the character of the wicked and the character of the righteous. Not only that, we also see their afflictions, their joy, and their entire earthly course, and of course their final destiny. There's always a contrast. The saved or the righteous will go to a place called heaven, and the Bible says the wicked will go to hell. There's always a contrast in the Word of God. Look at verse 17, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse number 17 this morning. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. It was the Apostle Paul telling us, "For our light affliction." It's but for a moment, he said. Now, this speaks of the saved or the righteous. Now, it affirms that their afflictions are light, gaan, not heavy, but light, the Bible says. He calls our affliction, God's people, our afflictions are what? Light. Bible says, Jesus said in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for us." He careth for you. And said, "Here, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take of me, learn of me," he said, "for my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? My burden is light." It says here, verse number 17 again, for our light, he says, affliction. It affirms that their afflictions are light, temporary. I like this here, work it for us. Work it for us, the afflictions that happen to God's people. Now, our affliction, work it for us, not against us. It is not meant to destroy us. God, somehow behind it, has a purpose, a good purpose, because the Bible says, but we know, Romans 8:28, we know that all together, all things work together for what? Good. All things, he says, whether they're good or bad, whether prosperity or whatever, Bible says, all things work together for good. Not all things are good that happens to us. But all things, whether good or bad, work together for what? Oh, the end result is always for our good. Our light affliction. The Bible, throughout the Word of God, describes the entire difference regarding the condition of the wicked people who are not living for God. We want to observe some particular things today about the case of the righteous or the saved people. Those who are truly saved. When you say righteous people, those who are saved, those who love God, those who love this book, those who love souls living and growing in grace. They are not perfect people. Let me say this. God's people are not perfect people. They're just forgiven, saved by the grace of God. But they grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, because our time is limited, I want to, there are two thoughts here, main thoughts that I would like to share today, looking at the contrast between the affliction of the righteous and the wicked, the saved and the unsaved. First of all, the righteous, the saved people, have afflictions. We're not like Mr. Kibuloy telling people, if you have cancer, if you have sickness, whatever, just put your hands on the TV monitor and all those cancers will be gone. We're not like those Pentecostal preachers telling people, if you need millions, kung gusto niyo magkamilyon, itaas lang ang kamay, tanan, millionaire na. Those are illusions. Those are not true. Those are not real. The Bible says, those that live godly in Christ shall suffer what? Persecution. We as God's people, the righteous, the saved people, also have their afflictions. This truth is asserted and implied throughout the Bible. And the whole course of God's providence in every age teaches us the same thing. God's people are not excluded from suffering afflictions. Their afflictions, let me say this, their afflictions may be in themselves as painful, maybe as frequent, maybe as long lasting as those which come to the unsaved. We have the same, maybe. Maybe the same, talk about how frequent it comes to us, how painful it is, and how long it lasts. The same, maybe, of those that come, the same afflictions that come to those that are not saved. The Bible says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of what? Troubles. In Psalm 34:19, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The book of Job shows that this fact, let me say this, I started with the book of Job. I also read the book of Psalm today. You see, the book of Job shows this fact. The sufferings, I mean, of the saved people has been greatly misunderstood. There was a time when even God's people did not understand why. Even Job, he questioned many times why, and why, and why. And I tried to analyze the thought there. You see, the book of Job shows us that people, especially during the time, greatly misunderstood God's dealing with His own people, the afflictions of the wicked. And let me clarify this. The time of Job happened probably 500 years before the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. Job was probably a contemporary of Abraham. Those people, he lived 2,000 years before Christ. The Bible was written, the first five books of the Bible were written 1,500 years. And Job lived prior to that 500 years. 500 years before the Bible was actually given to man. And some Bible scholars said that probably the oldest book in the Word of God in the Bible is the book of Job. It was probably Moses who wrote that book, because the Pentateuch, the first five books, Genesis to Deuteronomy, were all written by Moses 1,500 years before Christ. Now, it was a very dark, I want you to know, it was a very dark part, very dark side of human history. When you talk about spiritual things, spiritually speaking, they did not have the Bible like we have today. Spiritually speaking, they did not have this book like what we have today. Today, I can study the Word of God, I can preach the Word of God with the complete revelation of God's book. The actual writing of this book lasted, the span of time lasted 1,500 more years. From the first book of the Bible was written up to the last book. First book of the Bible was written 1,500 years before Christ. And the last book, which is the book of Revelation, was written 96 AD or after that. That's the span of time this book was written. Imagine those people, imagine yourself living in those days when you did not have the Bible. Today, if you want to know the will of God, all you have to do is to open the Bible. Compare the Bible from, you know, the context of the Bible. And so people greatly misunderstood God's dealing. They said, why are these things happening? They had a very dark understanding about God's dealing, even with the righteous people. There are several specific points we would like to notice about the afflictions of the righteous this morning. Thank God we have the Word of God today. Let me say this, people, those who are saved, people, the Christians are called the true-hearted Christians. The righteous are saved, the true-hearted Christians. They love the Lord, they love the Bible, they're growing in grace. People who are concerned for the salvation of others, they are not perfect, but they're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, 1 Corinthians 4:17. First of all, the Apostle Paul calls it our light affliction. Our light. He makes a contrast here. Down here on earth, even as God's people, we have a lot of trouble. We have a lot of trouble. And mine, it does seem to last a long time, doesn't it? When we have trials, as if we are having the trials 100 years, it lasts. It seems lasting a long time. It seems so hard when we have trials. But when we begin to measure it by the weight of glory, look at this. The trials that we have today, you try to compare it, measure it, try to weigh both sides. Sometimes the afflictions we have as God's people, we feel it's so hard, it's heavy. But when you begin to compare it with the weight of glory, it becomes what? Light. It becomes light when you see the other side of it. When you see the Bible says, when you see the weight of glory that is coming someday, it is a light affliction compared to that weight of glory. Our afflictions here on earth are light if we compare it with what we know. I sat down yesterday. All of us, if you're saved, must go to this process. None of us is exempted. We as God's people, if you're saved, we have afflictions. We may have different afflictions, troubles and trials, but if you are a child of God today, you have to accept we have afflictions. We have afflictions. Maybe physical afflictions, whatever. But we have afflictions. We have trials and troubles in this world. And sometimes we feel they're so hard. They're hard, they're getting heavier all the time. In the Bible says, all you have to do is to remember the glory that is to come. And those troubles and afflictions and trials then would become light. They are light if we compare it, number one, with what we know and what we feel we deserve. What do you mean, Pastor? I was sitting down yesterday and thinking of this. I look at Ananias and Sapphira in the Bible. I said to myself, was it their first time? They came in, Mr. Ananias. Peter raised his hand, his finger upon him, and said, Peter, why hast thou kept back? Kung itong binisayon, nga nung i-kick back mo ni mo? Ay mong tithe, ay mong offering. And he fell down and died instantly. An hour later, the wife came, and she was probably looking for the husband. And I said, Mom, why did you consent? And they had a big amount. They said, well, ano ra baron, graduation, or, I mean, opening sa school, so, ay, gihatag ta na ni mong offering sa Ginoo. 50 pod kay, ano, 2,000 ng bugas karon. I said to myself, was it only first time that it happened to them? Probably. But God killed them instantly. When we think of all the mistakes we commit to the Lord, the sons of Jacob, they entered into the holy place and the Bible says they brought strange fire and God killed them instantly. Rebellious children in the Bible, once nga magtubag kasi mo ginikanan, you'll be brought in public and you'll be stoned immediately by simply disobeying your parents. Karon sa 911, ang amahan ni mahadlok sa mga anak. There was a preacher who came, went to the States, and you notice was trying to teach sa iyang mga apo. You know what those kids told that preacher? Said, Lolo, do you want me to call 911? He said, panguli mo sa Pilipinas, kundiri, na, wagid mo, maguba mo. My friend, when we think of that young people, you're still alive today with all the mistakes we have. The afflictions that we have are light compared to what we should have received. Many times we forget to pray. Many times we forget to give our tithe. Many times we forget serving the Lord. But God is always gracious to us. Now let me show you a passage in the Bible. Now open your Bible with me in the book of the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, whom the Lord chasteneth, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And let me say this here today. Oh, God's people, we always go through the process of chastening. God, because God is teaching us, as our Heavenly Father, God is teaching us through the process called discipline. And the best and tested process that God always uses is affliction. We know it, the way that I take, and I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. In Lamentation, please open your Bible quickly with me. Lamentation chapter 3, verse number 1, talking about the experience of Jeremiah. Next to the book of Jeremiah, Lamentation chapter 3, verse number 1. I'm a man that had seen what? Affliction. Thy rod have been sharp. He hath led me, brought me into darkness. Verse number 3. Surely against me is he turned, and eternity's hand against me all day long. My flesh, my skin hath made me old. He made me old. Man, Jeremiah have sinned, has gone through great troubles. But Jeremiah looked around, said, Lord, you have been unfair. You have afflicted me. In fact, you have made me an old man with all the problems and the trials and the afflictions that came to me. Verse number 21. And this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. See, Jeremiah looked back in the past and he saw the judgment that came upon Jerusalem. And Jeremiah sits as he sits down in the rubbles and the ruin of Jerusalem, weeping, writing as he's writing. You see this man weeping as he writes the lamentation. You know, he realized this, I recall, he said, in spite of the severe judgment of God, many thought it was a severe judgment because all of them suffered for it. The old women, old men were killed. Their temple was ransacked. Their walls were destroyed. Young ladies were raped. They were taken as captive into the other land. Actually, it was a literal ruin as it sees the city of Jerusalem now. Said, Lord, this is too much. This is too a severe judgment that you gave us. But Jeremiah have seen utterly, you know, how the city was consumed. But my friend, he realizes, had it not been to the faithfulness of God's mercy, all of them would have completely disappeared as a nation. If God would have punished them accordingly, if God had treated them accordingly, all of them would have died, disappeared completely as a nation. But God still was good to them. The trials that came to us are light. We begin to say, to see, begin to understand, begin to think. It becomes light compared with what we know and what we feel we deserve. Number two, thank God, every child of God can claim, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son he receiveth. The basis of all God's discipline is always His divine love. God is training us as His beloved children. He's not punishing us, He's training us. See, punishment is to uphold the law. A judge punishes, but a father chasteneth his son whom he loveth. All of us must go through that process. God uses chastening to demonstrate His love for us. Our affliction are light, number two, compared with what Christ suffered for us. Look at Christ, what He did, what He endured for us. He endured the cross for us. He was despised, all the affliction. He was afflicted, smitten of God, the Bible says. He endured it. When you begin to compare your affliction with Christ, what Christ has endured, they are light. They are light. Hebrews 12, look at verse number 3, please. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3. Bible says in verse number 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. When you complain about your affliction, look at Jesus Christ hanging on that cross. When you feel bad about your affliction, look at how much Christ endured for us. When He was rejected, when he was nailed on that cross, our affliction are but light compared to what He endured for us. Surely we will understand also another thing, our affliction are light when we begin to compare it with those that the things that await the wicked. Imagine that they will be punished with everlasting destruction. When you have sufferings today, think of this. The unsaved people someday will be punished with everlasting destruction. See the rich man in hell. Until now he's crying for water. Until now he's begging for water. Until now that man is still in horrible darkness. Until now that man is still crying, Lord, Lord, give me water. Please mercy, water, please have mercy on me. And the worms still eat that man. And until now he is alive. And he will be there forever, forever. Not a single moment of peace since he came to that place. The trials that we have are nothing to be compared with what awaits those who are not saved. Our trials, our sufferings, our trials we have today are nothing compared with their everlasting agony. in hell. Surely we'll begin to understand our suffering are very light compared to the suffering of the rich man in hell. The affliction of the righteous, number two, are short. They're light, number two, short. They are short compared with eternity. Short compared with the measureless duration of the sufferings of the wicked. They will suffer. They will suffer. Wherein the Bible says, "He greatly rejoiced, though now for a season, it need be. Though now for a season." Our heaviness, our trials today are only temporary. They will not last long. God's people say yes for that. You should say yes and amen for that. All our afflictions, the afflictions of a true saved person, truly saved people, are allowed by God as means of grace. Remember this, they are light. If you begin to compare, think of what you deserve, they're light. Number two, you think to compare it with Christ and what Christ endured, they're light. When you begin to imagine the eternal destruction of people in hell, they're light. Another thing, our affliction as true saved people are allowed by God as means of grace. Looking back here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, they work for us. Our affliction work for us, not against us. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of what's the next word now? Class. Glory. Our sufferings today, our afflictions today, are to prepare for us in heaven. I may not be able to explain it to you, but let me explain this. If outrightly, Karon, right now, God will put all His people in heaven, you know what will happen? What will happen? It is no longer heaven. If all of us today, remember during the time of President Marcos, there was a concentration camp at the Vietnamese refugees in Morong, Bataan. U.S. Congress passed a law that all of those survivors of the war can enter the United States of America and can avail U.S. citizenship. The problem was, how can they live in the States? It was completely straight. Di sa kamampalong ka ng electric, sa ilang 20, unsa ng refrigerator, unsa ng sakyanan. And so, they were stationed sa Morong, Bataan for a few years, training them how to speak English, how to live the kind of life that they will have in America. Because putting them outrightly in America, those people will be completely become a stranger. Today, you notice, we have singing. You know what we do in heaven? We sing all the time. We sing all the time. You see Christians during time of singing? Hallelujah! Oh, amazing grace! Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will live in the house of the Lord. Ibutang na sa langit and it will ruin heaven. Are you getting the point? Kung ikaw mo sunod sa langit, pwedeng ko ba sa langit? Right? Because people are rejoicing in heaven. Said, mo din ni diri. Akong style kinanta sa silong kanabang sa to the world we are served. Pagkaway kinabuhin Kristohano. Kanay mong kinabuhin, kinabantayan nimo ka ubang tao lang, di ka pwede sa langit. Huwag ka na'y bantayan sa langit. Amen ba? Ha? Iban na man. Kung maunay mong trabaho karoon as Christian, dili ka pwede sa langit. In other words, God has to put His people in the process. The trials that we have today, I hope you get what I mean. The trials, the afflictions we have today are all preparing us for what? Glory. Glory. It's preparing us for that place. Believers' present afflictions work for them. A weight of glory. Because God is preparing our character. God is preparing us. God is preparing us for that better land. 1 Peter 1, look at verse number 6. Bible says here, 1 Peter 1, verse number 6 and verse number 7. 1 Peter 1, verse number 6. I'm running out of time, so I'm trying to hasten myself here. 1 Peter 1, verse number 6. Where ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto what? Praise. And what? And honor. And what? Glory. After the gold is mined, it is put into a smelter, they said. A smelter is a red hot furnace. The purpose, putting those gold in the hot furnace, the purpose is not to destroy the gold, it is to purify the gold. When the gold is melted, the dross is drawn off in order to get the pure gold. You see, before you arrive in glory, God wants to take off the things that will not work in heaven. They seem to be gold. If you're not familiar with gold, kita kang batu is gold, gold, gold. No, it has to go to the process. Kita ni mo tong Christian pato simbahan, nagdalag Bible, amurag tinuod ba, murag true. Abra, morning. Wala ito yung basa-basag Bible. Pag-abot sa kanto. You know, the unreal, the filth, has to be taken off. In our lives, because God is preparing us, they work for us. He knoweth the way that I take. When I am tired, I shall comfort as what? As gold. God wants to produce gold, gold in us. See, the right understanding of the saved people, the righteous, those who are serving God, about their affliction, make them gladly accept the trials. It was Job, he said, I did not understand this. He questioned God, why? Job 42, please. This man questioned the Lord, said, why did you allow this to happen to me? Why? He said, why? Asking God. And Job, now in verse number 1, in Job chapter 42, in your Bible, please. Looking at verse number 1 now. This was the time 500 years before the Bible was written. And the Holy Spirit somehow revealed it to Moses, if he was the writer. But what actually took place there, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Job said, Lord, why before? And now you see him a changed man. Said, Lord, I know you're sovereign. I now understand and beginning to understand that you do what it pleases you. Whatever pleases you, Lord, you have the right to do everything. Nobody can dictate you, because I know, Job says, you know what is perfect for us. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Verse number 4, here I beseech thee, I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare of that. I have heard, he said, verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. I know there was God because somebody told me. I heard about God through my ears. But through these trials and through the faithfulness of God, the preservation of God, you know what he says in verse number 5? But now mine eyes seeth you, he says. At the beginning of the process, when God put Job in the furnace of affliction, Job was asking God why. I said, why? And as he begins to see the faithfulness of God, how God has preserved him, he could have died. My friend, he says, now, I used to hear about God. They used to tell me about the faithfulness of God. They used to tell me about the grace of God and the mercy of God. And now it's more than what I hear. It is something I see now. Psalm 119, verse 71, please. Psalm 119, verse 71. Psalm 119, verse number 71, please. 119, verse number 71. This is what the psalmist said. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn what? Thy statutes, thy laws, thy ways. Psalm 119:67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. God is designing us. God's people, while passing through the valley, the very furnace, they always had the strong conviction that God's hand, their Heavenly Father, is in it. That the trials are all perfectly designed by God, completely controlled by God. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above. God puts limitations. God is in control of everything. God is in it. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But the fact that they are short makes them appear so light. Why? Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The people around Job misunderstood the faith of Job. They even had Job. His wife did not understand it. She didn't understand why God did it to Job. His friends did not understand why God did it that way. Even Job did not understand it. But there came a time that he understood God's way. Psalm 73, look at verse number 1. Truly God is good. Now, thank God, we understand it. God is good. But there's another problem now. I can understand why God afflicts His people. I can understand the wisdom behind it. But there's one thing I cannot understand. Why are the wicked prospering? It troubles me now. Another trouble. So why are they prospering? It was too painful for me, he says. I ask you, does it also trouble you? Why am I having sickness and sufferings and losses while other people are getting more richer and richer all the time? Stronger all the time. Why is it happening to me? I'm a child of God. May pa nag-hold-upper ko na. May pa siguro nag-shabu dealer na lang ko. Kumauman na lang kinabuyan ko. Do you feel that way also? First, the problem was settled. He now understands why God deals that way with these people, the righteous. But he says, there's something I cannot understand. Why are the wicked prospering? But as for me, verse 2, my feet were almost gone, my steps are well nigh slip. For I was envious, said at the fullest, when I saw the prosperity, says, of the wicked. Verse 16, it says here, when I thought to know this, this was too painful for me. I said, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Until his questions were answered, until I went to the house of God. And there understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in sleeper places and castest them down into destruction. Understand that the trials I have today are nothing, are light compared to what awaits the wicked. Understand that my affliction today, he says, now understood their end. That all of my trials are nothing compared to the eternal lake of fire. Number one, we see now that the sinners are joyful, yes. But the Bible represents their joy as only for a moment. Temporary lang. Wicked man may have all this earth can give, pride, prestige, position, possession, everything, but those things will not last. Remember this psalm, think that money can provide real happiness. Position and fame can provide real happiness. And I told you last Sunday, it is wrong. Because only God can produce joy with happiness. Sinners, joy, number two, are only means. And it's something we have to realize today, comparing now the difference, the contrast. The sinner's joy only means of aggravating their future sorrows. Their joy today prepares them for more sorrows to come. Our affliction today prepares us for glory. That's the difference. Our groanings today, our pains today, our trials today, everything is preparing us for glory. The joy in heaven. The joy of the unsaved people today only aggravates their future soul. What do I mean by that? Rich man was in hell and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Please send Lazarus. And he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my soul from tormented in this place. You know what Abraham said? Son, remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things. Party, disco, Canaan. Remember those things. The joy, the pleasure today of the unsaved people only adds to the sorrow that they will have in hell. While they remember the time, katawan nilang preacher, they remember the time that they spent, all the time they spent sa disco, sa bailihan, sa tanan. Remember the beer, the money they spent. Remember all the whiskey. Remember all those things. The opportunities they have. Their joy today. Simba-simba. This is happening sa Bible. They remember it and will only add to their sorrows. The joy of the unsaved only aggravates their future sorrows. It will only add to their guilt and sorrow in hell. The joys of sinners today will only aggravate their sorrows in the furnace of fire prepared for them. The sorrows of the saved prepared for their joy in heaven. What a contrast. The afflictions of the wicked are prelude actually to hell. Ano man, ay mga unsaved, when they have troubles, wala sila pastor, bisita sila, ha? Comfort sila, Brad, God is good to us. Wala sila co-members nga, magbisita sila, ha? Praying, bringing the Bible, they bear it all alone by themselves. Antoon sila mabarkada sa Ginhawa, pa kada kayo magbiyan na puto. Ano? The afflictions of the wicked are only prelude. That is why the wicked people, you will realize that in the midst of their laughter, so-called rejoicing, they commit suicide by and by. Because those people with all of the money they have, the fame they have, the success of this world, they call the success of this world, they call it success and enjoyment, my friend, they will say, impirno ng kinabuhiani. It's all prelude. Preparatory palang sa impierno. Their joys today. Birthday party. Sayaw-sayaw. Dinunggabaya. Agay, impierno yun yung kinabuhi. Just preparing for hell. Their afflictions are only beginning of sorrows in hell. The wicked, the unsaved, bears all his affliction, his sufferings in this life, comfortless. Unsustained. No Christian's hope gladdens them, cheers their heart. No solace can they have in the bitter hour. But if you're saved, first of all, you have God. If you're saved, you have the people of God behind you. If you're saved, there's a difference. The saved, while in affliction, can say that their affliction is light. Because of their trusting, submissive, and peaceful state of mind. But thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Oh, my heart goes to people who are scheduled to go to operating room. We do not even know what to say, what to pray, where to pray. Because all of His God, all of His time are attached to the things of this world. To His money. Used to think that everything, money, that money can do for Him everything. But now He's scheduled to go to the operating room. He now realizes that there are things that money cannot do. And my friend, we have things. We have God. We have the comfort of God. For thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The affliction of the wicked are heavy because of their wicked mind. They have no power to resist, to bear up, under them. Suppose a man, a godly man, ungodly man is visited with death. His prosperity is turned away. Considering it all, his all, his God, all is gone. It leaves him no good to enjoy. My friend, God's people may lose everything they have in this world. They may lose their health, they may lose their treasure. They may lose their possessions. They lose everything. Get it? The Bible says, He took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. These people suffered such great, severe persecution, but with the joy produced by God. Thank God. Why? Because the joy of a Christian, the happiness of a Christian, is not attached. It is completely independent of the things of this world. It's God. Shall we all send affliction? You remember last Sunday's message? Why the Christians are true Christians? They're the true happy people. And we've learned last Sunday that Christians are the real happy people. Number one, because he can sit down quietly and think about his soul and say, all is well. All is well. All my sins are gone, all because of Calvary. Life is filled with song, all because of Calvary. Christ my Savior lives from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming. Or one those blessed day, yes, all because of Calvary. You can say, all is well. Everything is well. All is well. All is well with me. A true Christian is the only happy man because he has the sources of happiness entirely independent of this world. Not of this world. A true Christian is happy because he is in his right position. The powers of his being are directed to the right ends. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. An unsaved man, a wicked man, loses the things of this world and his joy is all gone. But the saved man, he may lose everything in this life. He still remains happy because his joy is attached to heaven. Not here, but there. My treasures are laid up somewhere. Not now, but in the coming years. It may be in the better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears. And there sometime we'll understand. We'll catch the broken thread again and finish what we here begun. Heaven will the mystery explain, and then we'll understand. We'll know why clouds instead of sun were over many a cherished plan. Why song has ceased when scarce begun. Tis there sometime we'll understand. Why what we long for most at all of all eludes so oft our eager hand. Why hopes are crushed and castles fall. Up there sometimes we'll understand. God knows the way He holds the key, He guides us with an erring hand. Sometime with fearless eyes will see, yes, there, up there, will understand. So trust in God through all the days. Fear not, for He doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime will understand. Up there will understand. Take the world and give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, at the losses of Christians, he can say, a believer can truly sing this song, take the world and give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love abided ever, through eternal years the same. Take the world. Can you honestly say, take the world. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Honestly, you can sing the song. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love abided ever, through eternal years the same. Oh, thank God. Oh, the heights and depths of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Take the world and give me Jesus. Our affliction as God's people, our afflictions are light compared to the promises of God's word. Why? Because the word of God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Many are the afflictions of the wicked, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Out of them all. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. While the unsaved, the wicked man, bears them all alone by himself. It's light. It's light. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? If not, then come today and open your heart to Him. Do you know that your afflictions can be made light? If you go to the Word of God today, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your anxiety, your troubles upon Him, for He's concerned about you. Take His hand this morning. Say to the world, take the world and give me Jesus. Take the world and give me Jesus. Sweetest comfort of my soul, with my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing, though billows roll. Take the world and give me Jesus. Let me view His constant smile. Then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. Take the world, give me Jesus. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved this morning? I ask, if not, then come today. Come today. Your burdens, your afflictions can be made light today. If you just come to God, take His promise. What song are we going to sing, Sir Jimmy?
272, Jesus I Come.
Jesus I Come. Come to Jesus right now. We'll not spend so much time here. Just few minutes. But this is the most important part of the service today. Can you honestly sing in the middle of dark hours? Say, take the world and give me Jesus. Can you honestly whisper a song inside of you in the midst of losses and trials and afflictions? Can you sing this song honestly? Take the world and give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love, in contrast, His love abideth ever through eternal years. through eternal years, it remains the same. Oh, the light and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. If you are a child of God today and you would honestly seek God's presence in your life, God's power in your life, you want to talk to Him alone, the altar is waiting for you. But if you are a child of God, say, Pastor, I need someone to open the Bible. We have these trained workers that are waiting for you this morning. They will be glad to take their Bibles and share with you the Word of God, whatever you need. If you're not saved, definitely you need someone to share the Word of God and how you can get saved. As we sing what verse again, Sir Jimmy? What song again? Sing verse 1.
Let us sing verse 1.
Come on now. Come on, say yes. Take the world. Give me Jesus. Take the world. Give me Jesus. You want to pray alone as a child of God? Go ahead. You want someone to talk to you? Stay put. Come on, take the world. You have a need. If you want someone to deal with you, okay. Right. So I need a lady worker here, Mom. Okay. Take the world. Take the world. I need a worker here. Okay, Brother Ryan, take the step, okay? Thank you there. Find out his need. How about you today? How about you this morning? Take the world and give it Jesus. Take your needs today. Come on now, say yes to God. If you need a worker, just stay put. Come on now. Come on now. Oh, take the world and give it Jesus. Our afflictions are made light. They're made light by the promises of God, the precious promises of God. God says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Our afflictions, number 2, are made light by the faithfulness of God. Jeremiah looked back. Jeremiah was a prophet who had prophesied and had seen the bare fulfillment of his prophecy. He warned those people. And so this thing came to my mind and I realized that we are today because of the faithfulness of God. We just look at our own shortcomings, lack of faith, our indifferences, lack of knowledge. We see God is faithful to us. God is faithful to us. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above which you are able, but will with, not out, but will with the same temptation also make a way of escape. He will not take you out, but in that same affliction and the same trial, God will provide a way of escape. Talk to Jesus now as we sing what verse, Sir Jimmy?
Verse 2.
Come on. Talk to Jesus now. Come to Jesus now. You're not saved, I ask you. Come on. You're not saved, how about you? Come on. Are you saved? You have a need right now. Come. Will you come? Come on, will you come? If you need to come to be saved, I ask you, come. Will you come today? Come on now, say yes to God. Come to Him right now. Oh yes, come on, come to the Lord. Come on now, say yes. Say yes, this is the last verse, how about you? This is the last verse, how about you? Will you come today? Come on now. Come on. Will you come today? Come on now, say yes. Will you say yes to God? Come on now. Will you come now, say yes to God? Because I come to God's people say amen. Amen. It's a good crowd today. Tonight I'll be preaching Luke chapter 5, 1 to 11. Please come, and I believe it will bless your heart. And we have visitors today. We have a good number of first time visitors. So please, members, and we know that I know that you will take care of our guests today. So shake hands one with another right after the services. Are we happy again in the Lord today? Thank God for that and everything that He has done in our church today. Brother Bingaura, would you please come up here and dismiss us in prayer? And after prayer, do not forget to shake hands.